What is up, group members? I'm licensed psychologist Dr. J.
I'm licensed clinical social worker Kristen Gingrich.
I'm licensed clinical psychologist Dr. Kristen Casey.
I'm licensed psychologist Dr. Jessica Rabin.
We're in the thick of holiday season, and what a better topic than sustaining joy and happiness. Is it possible? I don't know about these three, but maybe for you. So settle in, take a seat, and welcome to group therapy. So this topic, sustaining joy and happiness, as I look at these faces live in this room, the question I have is, what's the longest you've felt happiness or joy?
Coming in with the heavy hitters.
Give me exact time. I want it to the minute. 4 hours and 2 minutes and 22 seconds.
My initial thought is like, I feel like childhood.
That was my thought
literally
too.
Like I don't know why that just came to mind, because as an adult I'm even still trying to think like
an hour.
Yeah
maybe two.
I feel like in childhood I was probably like happy for a prolonged period of time. I think now, like, my first, other than childhood, my thought was like, okay, being with you all on this trip, mm-hmm. I've been very happy. And we have all simultaneously felt other emotions at the same time. So, true. Like, I honestly can't think of a prolonged period of time in my adulthood that I only felt happiness and not other emotions. Like, even, like, my wedding day, I was, like, super happy, but also anxious and stressed and things like that. But I think if I think of it, like, happiness while also simultaneously experiencing other emotions, I've probably definitely had like weeks at a time throughout my adulthood, but in childhood, probably, I mean, longer periods.
It's sort of an unfair question. And that's literally why I asked it, because even the title of this episode we're going to get into, but throughout any period of time, you're going to feel, in any day, you're going to feel a range of emotions. Some of us more, some of us less. Mm-hmm. But I think most people, when they think about this, if they're like, I just want to be happy, I think they're thinking of, at any given time throughout a day, they feel a little above their baseline. Mm-hmm. And you had said like you had felt that through childhood. So there must be like a period of time that you had felt that. But it does make you think about those periods of times where maybe you're a little above baseline for an extended period of time. What was going on then? Like how was that possible?
Now that I hear you talk, I wonder if I just mentally put away all the negative, you know? Like, honestly, like, I'm like seriously thinking.
Actually.
Like, on second thought, I don't know. But because to your point, I wonder if it's like, because I'm trying to think of what does joy mean to me? Like, what does it feel like? What is it? I don't know. And I think for me, it's like this playful energy, like not having to worry about other things or feeling like I have a sense of calm in my mind. And when your prefrontal cortex isn't really completely formed, I don't know.
Yeah. And because I feel the same way. Like I can look back at like my childhood and I feel a sense like I can, you know, think of all the bad shit that happened. But also I think of, you know, not having some of these big life responsibilities. Mm-hmm. Like I can look back and remember 7 and just playing on the playground, and I'm just playing on the playground. Mm-hmm. And I'm like that mindfulness of just being in that moment and having fun versus like I go to the playground now with my kid and I'm like, don't go talk to that stranger. Who's watching us? Who's doing this? Like, and I feel like there's so much more behind that, but it doesn't mean that I'm not happy. Mm-hmm. But I feel like there's more as you get older, there's more things that are playing into what that looks like.
Mm-hmm. Good way to describe it.
Yeah, I've very much related when you're saying like when you're not having to worry about like the day to day, because I think of the times, like especially in adulthood, where I've, whether they've been moments of happiness or prolonged periods, it's like vacations or even like maybe on a weekend when the weather's nice and I'm at the park with my daughter and just very much in the present moment, not worrying about work and bills and things like that. And I think being in the present moment is really important for happiness and joy. I think it's important for all emotions, because then we actually know how we feel, blah, blah, blah. But like to really feel that happiness and joy, we have to be in the present moment and not worrying about all those, like, oh gosh, tax season's coming up. Not really, but like, I guess in a few months, once this episode releases, like taxes or like, you know, bills. the bills, the long to-do list. I mean, we were talking about grocery shopping on the way here. So like all of those things. And, you know, can you find joy in the day-to-day things? Absolutely. But at least for me, when I think of the times in recent that I've felt the most happy or the most joyful, it's being in the present moment and not worrying about all of those external day-to-day things.
I think I always have to remind myself that happiness, while it can be a state of mind, is also a feeling as well. And being mindful, like, to have happiness every single moment of every single day is not a reality. Like in that, you can have times where you are a lot happier than others and times where you're not, but that I can't expect to be happy every single moment. For myself, I expect to be content. And like, if I wake up today, am I okay with where my life is at right now? And am I doing things that are, if I'm not, then am I doing things that are pushing me in the direction of that, that do bring me a semblance of stability and happiness? Even if that happiness isn't there every moment of that day. Because I, for me, I know that happiness is not something that I feel for 6 hours a day in a row. Like there are moments for me where I'm like, oh, like I could sit here and look at a photo of my kid and feel an overwhelmingly sense of happiness. And then in the next moment I could stub my toe and be like, I hate everything. like
while looking at the picture.
Right. But remembering that, like, does that take away that the fact that just a moment ago that I was happy? Like, does it, when we talk about feelings and how much we care about each other and I go, like, does that take away like the happiness that I feel that we're sitting here? No, but I go back and forth in that.
It, y'all are getting me to think, I wonder if the concept of sustaining joy and happiness is appreciating the fact that we're like all those emotions that you just described, like you're happy and joyful while also experiencing the other emotions. Because when I think of joy and happiness, I kind of think like, is that the only emotion you're feeling at that time? You know? And for me, now that I'm thinking, it's probably not like at all.
Dialectics.
Who can exist?
On that side of the table, they love their dialectics.
We already know.
It helps us get through the day.
Right? We're throwing out a lot of factors of, because I, of course there's individual differences of like what would bring, like what's possible to bring a more sustained joy or happiness to a given person. And you'd mentioned like being present, being mindful in the moment. I think that's definitely a part of it. I definitely think it's interesting because it's a sense of control, but it's also a sense of being at peace with the things you don't have control of. I think a lot of us are, you think about your work. A lot of people just had a panic attack. But when you think
to catch up on Justin, come on,
about your job, you would feel like there are things maybe I don't have control of. You don't like your boss. I'm not getting paid enough. Can I pay my rent or mortgage? There are these like big stressors, which is why people allude to childhood being a more innocent time. And maybe you're just not thinking about things or have less things on you. But we want a sense of control. And at the same time, when you, and I always do these, when I pick up a new client and they're like super stressed, I'm like, if I could just pick you up and put you, you know, on a nice Jamaican beach somewhere. We're in South Florida. We love the beaches down here.
I'm so happy.
Spanish River Beach right around the corner. It's gorgeous. But if I can take you to Spanish River Beach in beautiful Boca Raton, how would you feel? And for a lot of people, for a moment in time, you're just like, this is great. You're at peace. But also for some people, they'd be like, it'd be very fleeting because then I'd start getting anxious about something.
Thinking about the future.
Future, things you got to do, things you should be doing.
Getting in the water.
But I'd be just happy that it's like 80 degrees here right now and it's 40 back home. I'm like soaking in the heat.
But what you said has a lot of benefits too, because I think, you know, if you're able, even for those fleeting moments or even just like a couple of minutes, to put yourself in that headspace, then you have a break from all of those thoughts that you are having, mm-hmm. you know, and all of those responsibilities that you have. And I think that's the concept of mindfulness, is really just trying to be present and not worry. Because a lot of my clients will say, well, I have so much stuff to do. Mm-hmm. I have so many things to catch up on. And in my mind, I'm like, you are probably going to be more effective in those moments where you're actually able to act on it compared to thinking about it before. Planning is good, but if you're over planning and you're staying there, then you're taking yourself, you're robbing yourself of joy or whatever that moment is. Mm-hmm. It's hard to do though. I struggle with it all the time. Yeah, really.
Absolutely. No, and Justin, I think you had a really good point about that, kind of being accepting of the things that we can't control. Because I know there's times I've probably said this, or we see on social media, like, how can I be happy when X, Y, or Z mm-hmm. is going mm-hmm. on? And like, yes, I feel like there's definitely periods of time that it's probably a lot harder to be happy or joyful. But one thing I definitely work on with my clients when we're talking about things out of their control, are there any things within this broader thing that's out of your control that you can control that would make you feel slightly less stressed? And if not, how can we work on, you know, coexisting with that? Because if we're always focusing on the things that we can't control or the things that are going wrong, I would, you know, venture to say that that would be really hard to then be happy or joyful if all our attention is going to, well, you know, I don't like my boss, or, mm-hmm. you know, I'm trying to think of things that like are truly out of people's control. Maybe your car broke down on the way to work mm-hmm. and that was completely out of your control. And, you know, that is a stressor, and, you know, okay, I can get it to the shop. I can't control how long it's going to take to fix, but that's the one thing. So what can I do outside of that? But as we've talked about on other episodes, our brains are so wired to focus on the negative and attune into all that's going wrong. And that shift can be hard, but recognizing like things can be going wrong. And dialectics, look at me on this side of the table.
You're entering in, I'm here for it.
And there are still things in my life that can bring me joy mm-hmm. and happiness.
Mm-hmm. Even if they're small. Mm-hmm, right. Absolutely. We like, even in our gratefulness episode, like even sometimes it's sometimes even focusing on those little things. They may not give us this overarching sense of joy, but in that moment, okay, this is the thing that's making me happy. This coffee is what's making me happy right now.
Can
not confirm. Us.
Well, I'm talking about myself, but like,
she didn't want to assume.
I didn't want to assume. Maybe your coffee.
No, I was saying we're not making you happy.
Oh,
just your coffee.
Yes. Right now. But that's the thing, is like, it may not be giving you that joyous moment that you can compare to maybe your wedding day mm-hmm. or something like that, but it's still something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was very joyful when the third order finally came out. So we weren't stressing anymore.
I was happy that mine looked the right color. Like sometimes you get it and you're like, I know that's the wrong shade of brown.
Okay. We were stressing this morning. Yeah. There was one there, and then 5 minutes later, the second order came out, and we're like, Justin's probably in the car. Like, we need to go. We need to get to the podcast studio.
Yes, absolutely.
I was like revving the Kia.
Yeah. I was in the back seat, scared.
And when they were like,
"Is that a Hemi
order
Kia?
For Kristen?" We're like, "Oh, thank you. Third's here." And I felt so much joy in that moment because I knew Justin was going to be happy that we ran to the car.
I just had joy because I could finish a whole coffee today and not have it knocked over on the beach.
A lot of things happen on the beach. You know, there's wild animals, seagulls, there's people trying to film content.
Were they pelicans? There were pelicans.
They're pelicans.
It was terrifying. Yeah. It was like
they're large.
A large group of pelicans.
There's just grown men making sand angels.
Yeah, I don't know where they're from, but
it was a moment of joy is what I felt.
I literally saw the joy radiating from you. So I was, you know, I will give that to you.
I think turning it towards the joy, but if people are listening and they're thinking to themselves, and we're hitting on some of the things, it's like, then what am I supposed to do?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, how am I supposed to incorporate more moments of joy or happiness? Is there like big things you can suggest to people? Is it really individualized based on values?
I don't know if I have a different view, but I almost feel like you have to seek it out because there's so many negative things going on in the world, you know, and in life. And to your point, there's so many that things that we can't control. Mm-hmm. And in my opinion, I think there's more that we can't control in terms of what happens to us compared to what we can control. Mm-hmm. So I almost feel like you have to kind of seek it out or put yourself in positions or situations in which joy is more accessible. For example, you know, throughout the day, I have my dogs at home and me and my partner joke around. He's like, we could just put the dog, I don't have kids. We could just put the dogs in camp and you could just work all day. And I'm like, yeah, but in between sessions, where am I going to get my little moments of like joy, right? Yeah. Like, so while it's stressful to have them around and because they're two German shepherds, they're really needy. They're literally so needy. But I just can't. It does bring me a little bit of joy to have them around, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think you really have to seek it out, but I, you know, that just works for me. You know, I'm curious to hear your thoughts.
I do think it's individual to a point because even you say dogs, there are people out there who hate dogs.
Can't stand dogs.
And will not find joy in that. Mm-hmm. And then like there are people out there who enjoy getting in the ocean. I'm not one of those people. Like I have a friend who will all summer goes down for their daily dip in the ocean. And I'm like, nope, that doesn't do it for me.
It's crabs in there.
And so it really is trying to figure out what are those things. And that's where we pull in that mindfulness and saying like, being mindful throughout our day of what is actually giving me these feelings of happiness and how can I incorporate them more in a day, right? Trust me, a Bahama vacation will give me so much joy, but I know I can't incorporate that into my daily life every other week. I wish I could. Different tax bracket. But instead I look at, I could make coffee at home, but having someone else make my coffee brings me joy. My dog brings me joy. My kid brings me joy. Cooking brings me joy. So I make sure to incorporate those things in my daily life to have those moments of happiness and joy. Otherwise, I wouldn't have them because, again, I work. And not that my job doesn't bring me joy. It does. But it's still a job. Mm-hmm. And you have to be mindful of that and really start paying attention to those little things because sometimes we can't make the big things happen in our life every single day, every single week, every single month, or even every year.
It's true.
Like, if Bahama vacations are your thing, but you can't afford to do that every year, then you need to find what are those little things in your day to day.
Because it's not sustainable to just focus on that big vacation.
Oh, absolutely. Right. You
know? That's not real life.
I think
it's great to start like, oh, you know that that's the thing that brings you joy. Like I love getting together with my friends and a lot of my friends live across the country. It is not sustainable for me to just fly to you guys. I wish I could, but I know that that's something that I need to plan for. Mm-hmm. And so I plan for that. And in the meantime, I'm getting my coffee. I am cooking my favorite meals. I am baking my cookies. And those things hold me over and do those things. I bring gifts for you guys because that gives me joy. Mm-hmm. And I have to do those things to make it to the big things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
It gets you through.
Yeah. And Justin, what I was going to say is values. And you already had mentioned that. Is if you can identify your values, the things most important to you in life, it's most likely going to be easier for you to figure out things that will bring you joy and happiness. So, you know, going off of what KBI was saying, if one of your values is like travel or adventure, but it's not sustainable to, you know, go to the Bahamas every other week, are there, you know, local places around you that on the weekend you can go for a hike in a mountain, or we're in South Florida, as Justin has brought up 17,000 times already. Like, could you explore a new beach or like find a new adventure restaurant or travel in a different way? If, you know, you value family, but your family doesn't live close to you, kind of like KBI was talking about with friends, you know, plan those trips, but what can you do on the day to day? Like make sure that you're texting or calling, or, you know, I know, especially during lockdown, my family would have like, you know, family Zoom calls on, I don't remember what it was, Sunday afternoons or something. I don't remember, but just like ways to connect that brings you joy. And I know I already mentioned this, but I really think focusing on the present moment, we are so connected to our cell phones. We are so distracted from like other things. So when you're like, you know what? I really enjoy trying new restaurants. Like, try a new restaurant and don't have your phone out with you. Like, really focus on how the food tastes. If mm-hmm. you're, you know, into trying new mixed drinks or wine or beer, like, focusing on, like, the textures, the smells, like, all of those things to really soak in that joy and really immerse yourself in the experience. Because I think also with distractions, we can be like, oh, I know, like, being around my family brings me joy. But then if you're around your family, but you're, like, sitting on your phone or, like, you know, one person's watching this, like, yeah, you might be happy, but since you're not present, maybe you're not as happy as you could be.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The thing I hear a lot with, like, new clients or just people in general is, like, they don't have time. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think the hardest thing, and you see this change a lot in psychotherapy, is you see people go from whatever headspace they've been swirled up into. It could be depression, could be anxiety, could be a lot of different things. And you see them start taking stock in where they put their time and energy. Mm-hmm. There's a huge behavioral component to all this, I really believe, of, like, you are what you do at the end of the day. And it doesn't mean, again, that depression makes things hard, anxiety makes things hard, my OCD makes things hard. But I, just as, like, a quick example, like, definitely not in a good headspace yesterday or this morning. And there was part of me that's like, I coach kids soccer. And I was like, man, I really don't have time to do this. Like, we're rushing to get here to the podcast studio. And yet, like, I was like, no, like, it's a responsibility. I got to be out there and coach these kids. And so, like, but when I was out there this morning, there was not another thought in my head. Not all the crazy bullshit that I've experienced in the past 24 hours, a lot of difficult people and situations, things I don't have control of. And, but when I was out there and you're just in the moment, like, for me, it is a values thing of, like, I'm just with these kids, like, cheering them on, high-fiving them. Yo, you did it. It's just, for me, it is pure joy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Of, like, I am stoked. I love teaching. I love sports. Soccer's a great one. But it's those things that we constantly, and I'm same as everybody else, you make excuses why you don't do it. 100%. I don't have time. I'm so busy. Absolutely. I got to pay this thing. Like, but you're, what you don't see, and I'm the same way, is that if you step back, zoom out, and use your time towards those things, exactly what you said earlier, KBI, you feel so much better. And you're actually way more productive and in tuned with the bullshit that you also have to do.
Totally. That got me thinking, do y'all have clients who have, like, the Sunday scaries with work? And they're just thinking, right? Like, they're just thinking about work on a Sunday. And to your point, if you were thinking about all that stuff at the soccer game, you wouldn't be able to be present. You would just be in your head. Yep. And I always tell my clients, they're not paying you to worry on Sundays. Mm-hmm. You're not getting paid to worry about your job. You're not going to be better at your job. You're not going to be able to do a better job by worrying, whatever. So I always say, even if it's something that's not work related, if you're not in the moment, you're not going to be creating those new memories, you know? So you really have to just be really present. It's so hard though, when you're in that headspace, my gosh, like, it takes a lot of effort, I think, to kind of switch your mind and switch your brain in that way.
And I'll say, like, I don't think I've talked about this yet, but this is the first trip that I have been on with friends where I have not been clinically depressed.
That is true.
And it is a whole other thing when I've taken my mental health into my own hands. And I understand that that's a privilege that I have been able to get a very expensive treatment for that. And I was sitting, and I was actually in the car last night when I leaned over on Jess's shoulder and I was about to cry because I was like, I am truly feeling happiness.
Wow.
And like, I'm feeling happiness for in a time, like, I'm not suicidal. I'm not like, and I'm truly sitting in this and I'm like, this is what happiness is. And I haven't, like, and I felt those moments throughout my life, like, you know, my son being born and those type of things. But like, this is the first time, like, in a while that I've like, wow. And like, laughing with you last night, I went to bed. It was like midnight and we were.
She didn't turn that goddamn light off. Sorry, I screwed it up.
And like last night we were laughing so hard and I went to bed and I just remember thinking, this feels so good. Mm-hmm. And it's just like one of those things that like, when you start, and because I've been doing a lot of that since my treatment of really trying to sustain this for myself, because it feels so good.
You've been doing a great job, by the way, too. Because like, I know it's hard.
It is. And coming from somewhere where I was very clinically depressed and just scraping by, it, like, getting and taking my own mental health into my own hands, again, understand it's a privilege. I am in a place now where, like, I didn't realize this is what happiness felt like. And again, like, not overarching, mm-hmm. not every moment of every day, but that I'm like, oh my God, this feels so good. And like, I just thought about that last night and I was like, I almost sobbed in the car and I was like,
hold it in, keep it in. We're going out. We're having fun. Keep it in.
But it's just like, it's one of those things that, like, when you start paying attention and you start incorporating that, mm-hmm. it really does change and you start seeing more of it mm-hmm. in every day.
And I think the thing that you're doing really well is that you have so many different stressors, like a lot of the time, mm-hmm. all at the same time, that literally happens simultaneously. And I think you do a great job of trying to compartmentalize while also affording you yourself that opportunity to like experience that joy. I don't think that you allowed yourself to get to that point because you were so depressed.
Yeah.
I just remember it was just a really dark place.
Yeah.
But now I think that you're kind of looking for it too.
Yeah.
You know, and you're mm-hmm. actually allowing yourself to lean into it, which I think is amazing.
And it takes time, like for anybody listening, like it takes time to get there as well. Like it's, and that's what's so hard about healing and doing this is it's that constant mindfulness practice. It's that constant practice. And we talked about this in the gratitude episode, right? We want that quick fix. Mm-hmm. We want it to like, oh, I look for the happiness one time and then suddenly it cures everything, but it's not, it's a constant, but the more we do it, the more you practice. Again, even something as small as like my coffee was the right color this morning, that makes me happy. Even if it's something as small as that, that's still something. Mm-hmm.
We love you.
Love you so much.
Also because feelings, and I have to make a joke. KPI has probably initiated the most physical contact on this trip out of anyone. So I want that documented.
Yeah. Literally.
I am very.
And cried the most.
I think so I told far. This to Justin. I am just so intentional with my physical contact.
You know, you are.
Like, but. It's more like I just am so intentional with it because I don't like it a lot. And so I was co-regulating with Jess last night. She didn't even realize it.
No, yeah, she was like leaning on the shoulder in the back of the car.
Joy.
Joy. I know I had something to say, but I forgot because that was from KBI. It was something that you were mm-hmm. saying before, but I don't even remember at this point.
I think
point.
It was something Justin said. I can't even remember.
But I think going back to what you just said about like sustaining, and we've already mentioned this, but I think it's an important point to bring up again and possibly expand on, is like sustaining this joy and happiness does not mean every single moment of every single day is going to be joyful and happy. It doesn't mean it's not going to be hard work. It doesn't mean that like, oh, you know, using you as an example, like you did your TMS treatment, you're seeking out more opportunities, you're recognizing joy and happiness in a different way. And it's still an active process mm-hmm. to seek out those opportunities. Like, just like any emotion, really, it like, yes, one can argue like something can happen and it triggers an emotion in us. But just like emotions like anxiety or, you know, stress, we can also stay in those emotions if we mm-hmm. ruminate on them more. Same with happiness. Like if something happens and we're like, oh, my coffee's the right color. Now I'm really, which she did bring up when we were in Starbucks waiting for the other. She was like, oh, it's the right color this morning. But like, you can think about that being the right color all day and maybe that will sustain mm-hmm. your happiness, or you can actively seek out other opportunities. Yeah. I wish it was as easy as, oh, my coffee's the right color. Now I'm going to be happy for the rest of my life.
I wish. Oh my God. I wish.
But yeah, it is an active process and a challenging one mm-hmm. at that.
I think for people who are really depressed, or I'm even thinking of people who have less privilege than us mm-hmm. too, I think joy could be a jump, the idea of mm-hmm. it, yeah. you know? Yep. And I think if people are out there listening and they're like, oh my gosh, I'm like not in the place where I want to be in my life. I really, I'm struggling to just experience happiness in any way. I even think maybe the first step would be getting to a place where you feel neutral about something. Mm-hmm. I think it's a good first step. I remember when I was really, really, really depressed earlier this year, I was like, joy and happiness just feel so out of reach. I just feel like it's so out of reach for me. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to get there, let alone sustain it. So I would try to find the neutral things. I know we talked about that yesterday, but whatever's neutral, wherever you're in a headspace or whatever's going to bring you to a place where you're feeling like, okay, I don't feel negative and I don't feel overly positive. I kind of feel like I'm in the middle. And I think that's kind of where a lot of us in life are in general, like normally throughout the day. Yeah, exactly. Like you said before, the contentment. So for people out there listening, I know it's hard if you're in a really low place and you're trying to find mm-hmm. joy, but neutrality might be a good first step of like, okay, I don't feel good or bad. I kind of just feel like I'm here, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the hardest thing is to convince yourself that doing one thing, like just moving from your bedroom to your porch mm-hmm. or, you know, texting a friend you haven't talked to in a while, because it, I think a lot of us have been in that space where you're like, what difference is it going to make?
Yeah, who cares? Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not going to make a difference. Like, what's the matter whether I leave my bedroom or not? But the reality is, like, when you reflect on your own journey, it is a lot of small things.
It is.
Yeah. Like, not everybody has big breakthroughs in treatment. I think that would be the ideal, especially as a therapist, that you would feel like, oh my gosh, this person, they came in this session and I saw the depression like lift off. Mm-hmm. If anyone's done therapy for a long time, personal or you're a therapist out there, it's just not the case.
Mm-mm. No.
It just isn't the way humans change. It's like literally the small things of like, yeah, I signed up for an adult kickball league mm-hmm. and I didn't go for like 4 weeks in a row, but then I went. Or again, I decided to like, creativity is a big part of who I am, getting back to values. And I'm finally like in a meetup group thinking about going to an event. It's like you literally see the smallest changes. And then for all of us, it's like you try to look back and think like 3 months ago, you're like, whoa, yeah, it's very different than I felt in July.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But day to day is the hardest thing to see change in human beings because it's so subtle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know about y'all. I always have to turn my mind. And it's so hard sometimes. Some days are easier than others. Like this morning, they witnessed me having like a, in my mind, it was a meltdown mentally. They say it wasn't, but
it was not.
It felt like it though.
Yeah, it did feel like it. And I'm like, okay, Kristen, just... In my mind, I'm like, get your shit together. But that's what I was telling myself. But I was really like, I'm just having a bad couple of moments. That's mm-hmm. it. Like, it's not a big deal. I'm okay. Try to validate myself a little. And then I was trying to look for things that I could latch onto that brought me joy. And it was kind of you guys. I was like, we're going to record. It's going to be fun. It's going to be great. I'll get my shit together at some point. Maybe never. I don't know.
Debatable.
Who knows? Literally. But I remember just kind of feeling like, if I don't try to find something, I'm going to be in this mood all day long. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like I'm just going to live in this headspace. So it was something neutral. It was something funny that KBI said last night. She would not go to sleep last night. Kept me up all night texting.
That's a lie.
I have it on video and I'm going to post it on TikTok.
I have an entire text thread of you texting me back.
And K-10, you were laying down scrolling TikTok.
Mm-hmm. I was.
We caught you.
Mm-hmm. I was.
We did
catch
you.
I have it on film.
Yeah.
I will share it. I will share it.
I'm in a new environment.
Yeah. One thing that came to mind when we've been talking about, you know, especially people that are clinically depressed, or we've talked about how like people don't necessarily prioritize joy and happiness that we haven't touched on, is the people that maybe don't feel like they deserve to feel joy and happiness. Because hopefully I'm not jumping into any of our group member questions, but I can imagine there may be some people listening that are like, I don't feel like I deserve to be happy because of X, Y, and Z. Mm-hmm. And what thoughts do you have for people that might say, well, I don't feel like I deserve to be happy or don't deserve to feel joy because of whatever, whether it's big things or like, because I have to do like, I have to pay my bills, I have to do all this. Like, I don't deserve to prioritize my values or things that bring me joy.
My innate reaction is just like everyone deserves to have happiness in their life. Mm-hmm. even in the midst of struggle or responsibilities or things like that, you deserve to have something in your life that makes you happy, mm-hmm. Or gives you joy. And again, like figuring out like, where is that? Mm-hmm. What is that? Like, yes, maybe my work needs my attention right now, so I can't take a vacation. So again, where do you implement those small things? Yeah. But we can always have that excuse. Mm-hmm. I could sit here and have that excuse that I don't deserve to be happy because I need to do this, 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 and this. But then we're miserable in the process, and yeah. that doesn't feel good. Mm-mm. And so what, again, where do we need to put some of that energy? And it goes back to, like you said, Justin, like, I don't have the time. Well, we need to find a way to make that time even like small.
I feel like you have thoughts.
I don't.
Oh, okay. All right.
Not about that. No.
I don't know. I kind of struggle with this one because I think with everything going on in the world, I know there's a lot going on in, you know, the Middle East and everything like that. I really struggle with this because I feel a lot of the time, how did I just get born into the United States or born into the family I'm born into or born into the body that I'm born? You know what I mean? I always think about that a lot. Mm-hmm. And then I think about people who either don't have that opportunity or they have a ton of barriers or obstacles to go through to get to the point of joy that I could probably experience. So I think about that. And then I also think about, because of that, am I supposed to not experience joy? I think that's kind of what you're even referring to as well. And I think the key is acknowledging that and acknowledging that there are people who are probably struggling more. I know we talked about this in the last episode, but at the end of the day, you're in your own body and your own mind, and you have to live with you too, you know? And mm-hmm. I think when I kind of think about, do I deserve it? The answer is yes, but then believing it is like another thing, yeah. right? It's just a really weird place to be sometimes. So what I do personally is I try to acknowledge that and then also say, like, I could have moments of happiness or joy. Like, I'm allowed to have that. Yeah. But then if the thoughts creep in again, I have to kind of turn my mind and turn my mind again, mm-hmm. you know, just to kind of get to a place where I feel like it, I'm able to access it. I think the accessibility mentally is hard sometimes.
The DBT.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. The only thing I would add, because I agree with everything that you all said, is if you are a person that's like, I don't deserve to take time out of my day to experience joy and happiness because I need to get X, Y, or Z done, you most likely are going to be able to get those things done better and show up better.
Yeah.
For the people in your life, for your job. Like when you mentioned, like, I don't deserve to feel joy because I need to do X, Y, or Z for my job. Like, you're probably going to be more productive in your job and enjoy it better if you take time to find those moments of happiness yeah. or joy. So you're not going in feeling dreadful, mm-hmm. miserable. I know for me, I am a much better parent if I take even 5 minutes of just like, decompress yes. time, mm-hmm. something for myself, mm-hmm. then I can go and show up for my daughter way better than if I didn't take that
yep.
5 minutes. And so I want people to hopefully get to the point where they deserve to feel joy and happiness for themselves. But if you're not there yet and you say you don't deserve it because I need to, you know, show up to work, show up as a partner, parent, whatever, like, do it for the other people, and then hopefully when you get into that practice, you'll realize you deserve it
yeah.
yourself as well.
Justin's taking a mental hiatus from us.
I think it's just time for Google Scholar Shorts.
Okay. Okay. You just looked like you had a lot of thoughts, so. Okay. So, as always, I'm going to pose a question to you all. So, do you all think there is a genetic component to happiness?
I'm thinking, go.
If there's a genetic component to depression, there has to be one for...
Ooh, I was literally yeah. thinking...
How could you have one without the other?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the ability to experience happiness is there for everybody, but I just go back to mental access. Like, are you able to access that part or mm-hmm. act on it or believe it?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so this is a 2023 study that looked at the genetics of happiness across the lifespan, and they looked at two different genetic banks and cohorts to kind of see across the different ones. So genetic liability towards happiness has a fairly consistent effects across the lifespan from ages 12 to 73. That was just the sample size they looked at. So it's not like if you're 11 or 74, but they found it across the lifespan across multiple ancestral backgrounds. So interesting, when looking at one sample, this was seen in white, black, Hispanic, Asian, and other ancestral backgrounds. But in the other sample, it was only seen in European backgrounds and not African, East Asian, and Hispanic. Results from the first cohort, so that's the one that they found all of the genetics, showed that genetic loading for happiness may drive certain aspects of an individual's overall well-being, including being more confident, energetic, and ability to concentrate, which I thought was interesting. As the Kristens look at each other. And then further, although no brain phenotype measured showed significant association with genetic loading for happiness, several regions were nominally significant, including larger volumes of white matter, larger size of the right accumbens, the larger size of the left hippocampus, and larger gray matter volume.
Wow.
We need Barb.
Good. There's a lot of regions of the brain. I'm like batting 50% on what you just said.
Those are big words for Elmo.
Yeah, but I don't know. Initial thought, and this was a genetic study, so full disclosure, like I picked it because it was super interesting, but I had to read through it a bunch of times because I was like, genetics is not, like way above my
pay
grade.
We don't have a class in that, no.
Yeah. The interesting piece, so was, remind me, was there a difference with the European and those of...
So they looked at two different cohorts. Yep. So in one, they found the genetic loading for happiness across all different backgrounds. Yep. But in the second cohort, they only found it for the European
and
backgrounds.
My brain goes to how much does racial kind of trauma over mm-hmm. the years yeah. and that changing yeah.
oh,
your
generation
your,
trauma.
You're in like just around your right. race.
Mm-hmm.
And that impact that that has in how your brain chemistry changes, and that changes your genetics. So I wonder if that also plays a part in that.
It's a really good point.
It definitely could. Yeah. But yeah, I thought it was interesting, but I love your point, Justin, about like if there's a genetic component for depression.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's gotta be.
Yeah. Cause it's still, it goes back to survival. It's mm-hmm. like whatever's mm-hmm. been passed down to you is there for a reason to help you survive and adapt through this life. But people like to think it's all blank slate, like oh, yeah. we're all the exact same. No. But mm-mm. that's why we have so much research in genetics and biology, because you're being handed something from your ancestors that is based on their experience.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Which, yeah is going to dictate a lot. Mm-hmm. Interesting, though.
So yeah. interesting.
And
yeah.
obviously, you know, with any, like, family system, there's going to be individual differences and things mm-hmm. like that, but and we obviously don't have to get in this conversation, but I'm sure if we like all did a deep dive into our family systems, we could pick out like oh totally. This like depression is probably genetic this mm-hmm. or like you know what positive emotions may yeah. you have seen more throughout your family yeah. even if we're not like going to do 23andMe and all those yeah. genetic tests.
It's funny just thinking about genetic factors, and then I also think about environment too. Like if you mm-hmm. live in certain areas, access again comes up, accessibility to different things. And then I even think like living in different genetic areas, or not genetic areas, different areas in terms of geography, like urban areas versus suburban, and how that might also impact it on top of race, on top mm-hmm. of socioeconomic status, all that stuff. It's mm-hmm. it's just so interesting to think about.
Absolutely. Know what else is interesting to think about?
The polls.
Always. Except for Justin.
We're never going to let him live it down.
You're a changed
He's
man.
He's changed.
Well, yep. you have always loved the polls. You just point out the data we collected.
That's a thing of the past now. It's almost a new year. New year, new outlook.
Is it going to be one of joy and happiness towards the polls? You are joyful 100%. That we are doing the polls?
I am. I always have been.
So I did the polls again. So let's see. So the first question that I asked was, what was the longest you think you've ever been happy?
Ooh.
A day or less, a month, a few months, or a year plus?
I'm going to say a month for our group members.
I felt right.
Y'all, this was close.
Really?
Yeah. A day or less was 27%. A month was 30%. A few months was 29%, with a year plus coming in at 14%.
That's probably the closest poll we've ever had.
What?
Yeah. So it is very, like I looked at that and it's like even across the board.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. To how subjective it is.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, and that, I mean, that goes back to like what we had all already discussed. Like, are these people thinking of like times where I only felt happiness versus like, oh, when I felt overall happy while other,
like I was experiencing a more positive time in my life with less stressors.
Yeah.
And I can look back and say, wow, that was really great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. I saw that and I was like, I was like, oh,
straight all the way down.
How often do you feel happiness during a typical day? Often? Sometimes, almost never, or I'm not really sure.
Sometimes.
Sometimes coming in at a cool 55%, with often at 16 and almost never at 18.
Oh.
And I'm not really sure at 12.
Okay. Wow. Okay.
But yeah. Do you think happiness or joy is sustainable? Yes, no, or it depends?
My gut says it depends, because I feel like people are going to be like, what does sustain? I don't know.
Yeah. This is just my always.
What does sustainable mean? Yeah.
So at 48%, it depends came in with yes being 25 and no being 28.
Oh my God.
So
these
pretty,
are like,
so pretty even.
Super close polls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then I asked the question, what is the one thing that brings you joy? Cozy blankets? Someone said glimmers. If anybody doesn't know what a glimmer is, it's those moments that like just in those days, those tiny moments that give you joy. Walking outside in the sunshine, coffee, lots of puppies, dogs. My favorite people, intimacy, other people's joy, real talk. Let's see, good company, breaking cycles. My fiance. Someone said Alani energy drinks.
I feel like K10 internally is like
this podcast.
Oh,
that's sweet.
Chicken nuggets.
Did you all see the dino chicken nuggets were recalled from Tyson?
Wait, what?
I did.
Yes.
We just finished a bag and I was like, oh.
I almost texted the group chat, but I decided not to because I was going to see you all.
We got like 4 bags of the Tyson spooky nuggets because I bought 4 bags when they're like bats and ghosts. And so I bought 4 bags.
But only the dinos were
recalled. I'm hoping they release like Christmas tree ones because I would buy those too. Let's see. Watching squirrels run around my college campus.
Squirrels are so cool.
The college campus squirrels are a whole other vibe.
I was about to say, yeah, college campus squirrels are like evil. Well, at least they were at my
the genetics. They've learned. They passed on a line of this is how you break in the dumpsters. Yes. This is how you get in a dorm.
We're not scared of people,
right? But it's genetic.
So what you're saying is fearlessness has been genetically passed down in college campus squirrels.
If you know.
I agree with that completely.
An iced coffee that's made just right. That wasn't me though.
That was definitely.
But there are lots of good ones. I mean, people are sending photos of their dogs.
Oh,
wow. I didn't even know you could do that.
Yes, me either. Tattoos, lots of this podcast.
Oh, so,
getting them or having them? Two different all processes.
All of the above. I think even when I get a tattoo, even on my inner arm, when I was like
dying,
seeing stars, I was like, this is great.
Not for me.
No. I think you were trying to convince yourself.
Yeah, I was trying to find joy in like at the end, this will look great.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
Right now, like if hell was a place, this would be it.
The ditch is the worst, in my opinion. That's the part. The other part of your.
No, it was right back. Oof, right in there.
I haven't gotten that because it looks like it hurts.
Can't relate.
Just as blank.
Just is coming up on the new year. And she's looking at. She's going right for the neck.
Yeah,
she's holding
straight up. No, she's just straight up neck tap.
Just neck, full all the way around.
Can you imagine
actually a welcome to group therapy?
I can kind of see it though.
I could totally see Jess with the neck tap. Yeah,
the couch.
The couch, and it's welcome to group therapy.
Oh my god! Like this one?
Yeah. Actually, I'm just gonna get this logo right here.
Can you imagine?
Y'all would be like, you're kicked out. Like, no.
She comes in and we're like, what is Jess? What in the What in the unstable is happening right now?
Yo.
And then we change the podcast name and then you're stuck with
it. Yo.
Kick me out of the podcast after getting it.
Bye. But you know what else brings us joy?
The questions. We love your questions so much. We got a few, and I'm really excited for them. So let's start with Zoe from Michigan. Zoe asked, what are ways each of you can find joy or happiness?
Oh. I think on the day to day for me, it's a lot of being in the present moment with my husband and daughter. Mm-hmm. So like, you know, even if it's just like cooking dinner, but like, you know, having conversations around the dinner table, like I already mentioned, on the weekends, if it's nice, like going to the park or do something and just being in that present moment, trying to not have like my phone and be connected. Outside of that, you know, being with you all, like when I travel to see my family, because my family doesn't live close, like, so the non-day-to-day things are definitely like making plans with people I love.
I would say for me, like, right, like if I think about like what's giving me joy right now, like it is like when I wake up in the morning and I wake up and I'm actually okay with being awake and like being alive, like, because it used to be, oh, another day. And now it's like I wake up and I'm like, oh, another day. And I think that that sets me up like also for my entire day now, because I'm trying to remain, you know, grateful and in that present moment, that that gives me joy, that I'm no longer in that space. But my kids laugh. Like that is the one thing, like when I FaceTimed him last night and he was like, let's do silly instructions. And like, I was like, wiggle your butt. And he just started cackling. And that just like makes me so happy. And so those type of things are the ways that I try to incorporate daily.
What about you?
I think a lot of it, is being outside, being in nature. It's the whole reason I live down here. It's not for the threat of being run over in a Publix parking lot.
That doesn't bring you joy and happiness.
If you live in South Florida, you know people are reckless. But the diversity, the culture, the things to do. But I moved down here from Ohio for the beach, for the weather. Yeah. When I look outside my window and I see my herd of iguanas, it brings me joy. Like growing up in Ohio where it's like everything dies through the winter and it's January here and you're like, look at these iguanas now having babies and underneath a palm tree. And it's just like, it's like nothing else. I don't know. Like I always imagined when I was in Ohio depressed with 6 months of gray that I could be in a place like this. Mm-hmm. And again, a lot of privilege, was able to go down to school here, experience it for a couple years before leaving to get my doctorate. But if I'm outside and I'm in the sun, like it's just like an auto reset for me.
Yeah, I love that.
It's like the connection with people, of course. I know we've done a whole episodes on that, but if I go just right to me, it's like, what is the fastest way? Outside, in nature, sunlight, done.
I love that. Yeah, for me, it's like, it's weird because the two things that bring me the most joy are very opposite. So the first one is similar to you guys. It's connection with people I love and really having those like really deep moments or moments of like real fun, laughter, all that stuff. Obviously, it's super fun. And then for me, I'm like really introspective and existential. So I do spend a lot of time alone meditating. And that brings me a ton of joy, ton of joy, because I'm able to kind of like really think about like the greater purpose of maybe why I'm here or like what it means. KBI hates these conversations about space and who we are and if we're aliens. Anyway, I do think that that brings me a sense of joy in this, in the fact that I could connect to the human experience a little more than maybe if I were to ignore that.
Yeah.
I mean, I like existential conversations, just not about space.
Or deep ocean.
I texted you and I was like, do you ever think like, that our names aren't real?
She texted me this at 11:30 last night.
I was like, do you ever think about it too much? And like, we have the same name.
It is kind of weird.
It feels weird and not real.
And it's spelled the same too.
So we have different middle names though.
What's your middle name?
Michelle.
Okay.
But it's close.
Yeah, I mean.
To them too. Yeah. Okay, Ashley from New Hampshire says, okay, so for people with borderline personality disorder, does it make a difference in terms of the length of happiness and joy? Any advice? So what I'm assuming is, does BPD affect the ability to sustain joy and happiness, and, you know, in terms of the length of time they're able to experience it?
So my gut reaction, and you all can jump in as somebody that doesn't work with borderline personality disorder, is that any mental health condition has the potential to impact one's mm-hmm. ability
to
experience joy and happiness for a prolonged period of time. With that said, I also don't think that having a mental health condition like automatically makes the amount of time you can experience joy and happiness shorter, for example. I think, figuring out, you know, how to manage whatever your diagnosis is, doing all the things that we've already talked about, like what are ways to incorporate joy and happiness in your day-to-day? How often are you seeking it out? And just acknowledging that if you do have a diagnosable mental health condition, it may be harder for you to find joy and happiness or sustain that for a longer period of time than someone who doesn't.
Yeah, I think for people with BPD, they do struggle with self-image in terms of how they feel about themselves and where they fit in the world, mm-hmm. and especially where they fit with other people. So I do think sometimes joy and happiness could be connected relationally for mm-hmm. people with BPD. And sometimes that feels fleeting, or you can't control it, or it might be difficult to sustain that. So for people with BPD, I agree with everything that you said, Jess. And I would add that sometimes it's kind of like a deconstruction for people with BPD of what does joy mean to me, like with the value stuff that we've all talked about. Mm-hmm. And it could be difficult to figure out what that means to you if you don't really know where you fit in the world, or maybe have a good idea of maybe who you are deep down inside. It could be a bit of a struggle. So I do want to acknowledge that for people with BPD, it might be a little more effortful to get there, but it's not impossible by any means. Okay. Lewis from Australia. Wow. I'm just like looking at all the questions and there's people from everywhere. It's like really fun.
I'm always impressed by that.
I know, yeah. Me too. I've been to Australia once.
I want to go to Australia.
People in Australia who listen to us? That's crazy.
Lewis, I've been to Australia once to present research and y'all are so nice. So thanks for being so nice. So what's a good way to handle someone who's constantly attacking your source of happiness?
I just got so upset by that.
I know, Lewis. I don't know if this is personal or not. Didn't say it was personal, but yeah. What's a good way to handle that?
Tell him to fuck off.
I don't know if you said that loud enough.
I don't know.
On these mics, it was loud enough. I think it's just really hard. Mm-hmm. I think especially because it depends who. Like when it's somebody with power over you, mm-hmm. Like a boss or somebody like that, I've certainly experienced that. It's really difficult. It's easy in the situations where it's like a neutral relationship, meaning there's power shared, like a friend. But if you're a minor and it's your parent, you know, or anybody who has power over you, it's just really hard. And it gets really specific about what you can do, what's an option for you, and what's not. Mm-hmm. I mean, the easy thing to say is like, set boundaries. But like, realistically, depending on the situation, that's not going to fucking work.
Yeah.
Like, I think a lot of people, and you know, if you're listening along, if you had a toxic workplace environment, you're looking for other jobs.
Totally.
You're getting the hell out of there. Anyone can tell you of like, just set some boundaries, go to HR, give this feedback. But if you've gone down those roads, you know how much that can just put you in hot water and actually make mm-hmm. things worse.
Totally. Mm-hmm.
So absolutely. I think it's specific. It depends on the situation. And asking yourself, what do I have control of? Which in each situation is so different. Mm-hmm. But at least in reflecting on that, what you have control of, you can start and you can talk with a friend or a therapist or anybody about what are realistic options. Mm-hmm. But I really don't feel like there's, when someone's attacking your joy, happiness, boundaries, or whatever, there just isn't many one size fits all answers.
That's true.
Absolutely.
And I think it says more about them than it does about you. Like, for someone who's just out there just shitting on people's joy, like, why? Mm-hmm. Like, and I think that says more about that person than it does about you being happy.
Yeah.
And I think that's, you know, but it's also really hard to experience that when you're feeling so good about something and someone comes in and they say, well, that could be better. Mm-hmm. Or you could have done, like they cut and you're like, oh, and it pulls you back into that negative. Mm-hmm. And it pulls you out of that because you're like, yeah, I probably could have done that better.
Yeah.
Right. You take a test and you get a 92, right? Really great. Mm-hmm. And then your parent comes in and they're like, oh, well, you could have studied harder and could have got 100. Well, now that joy is gone because you did study hard and you did get that. Mm-hmm. And now that joy is gone because someone else is saying, well, I could, like, yeah. And instead of just saying, wow, I studied really hard and that test was hard. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I think it does say a lot more about them than it does about you.
Absolutely. The only other thing I would add, and Justin, I completely agree with you. It's so nuanced. If it is a person in your life that doesn't have control over you, or like, I'm just thinking, and I don't know why this thought came to mind, but Justin, you love the beach and you love being outside. And if some random person in your life, maybe somebody you consider a friend, was like, Justin, why do you go to the beach all the time? Mm-hmm. Like, da, 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 like maybe reflecting on like, do I need them? Like, if it's not somebody that's like,
yeah,
in my life, like a parent or a partner or something. Cause like, you know, if you're going to the beach all the time and ignoring your, you know, other responsibilities and it's impacting the person, that's one thing, versus like a random friend being like, why do you like to go to the beach and make sand angels?
Yeah.
But like, I feel like, so if it is somebody that doesn't have control over you, like reflecting on like, what are they serving? I agree with KBI. Like, you know, it definitely says more about them. Or even maybe having the conversation, if you are in a safe place to do so, like, why does it upset you so much that I enjoy doing this thing?
Yep.
Like, why every time that I, you know, go to the beach, you have to point out the fact that, you know, I spend so much time at the beach. How is this impacting you? And then going from there. But it is so hard and nuanced.
Yeah, I was just going to add, I'm like, as you're saying all that, I'm like, the place I see this the most is social media.
Yeah. Oh,
it's,
my gosh.
It's easy. It's easy for someone to just drive by, like, shame you, guilt trip you.
Drive by comment section.
Just, yeah. It's, yeah. It's just, it's nonstop. But like, I know the thing that I constantly have to ask myself is like, is this worth my energy?
Yeah.
And it's so many times, it's like, as hard as it is, as much as it hurt, you're just like, there, especially somebody who is pretty miserable, like KBI was alluding to, it's not, yeah, you're not going to convince them in any way, shape or form, like that your happiness or joy or purpose is worth it. And you don't owe anyone an explanation.
Totally. Totally. I agree with everything everybody said. And I do think that like when people know us really well, sometimes it's easier to have those conversations, but on the internet, with nobody who's user 6923 with no profile picture, it's like, you don't know who they are, what they're about, right? And it's definitely that mirror effect, like you were talking about, of like, it shows a lot about them, but to internalize it is hard. And I'm thinking about Lewis's question, and if it's like personal or not, it's probably hard to put up those boundaries, really, you know, it's tough, really tough. Anonymous from Canada says, I have bipolar too and often feel pulled down by sadness, despair, despite taking my meds and sleeping a lot and otherwise taking care of myself. What can I do to prevent this? Or is it chemically impossible because of my illness? Really great point of the genetic component of bipolar.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think if we go back to what was said before, right, it may not be impossible, but it might need to be more intentional.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of piece of having that constant barrier. That's the reality, is you have this constant barrier that you're constantly working against. And there are going to be days where things are better and they're easier, and there are going to be days where things are harder. Mm-hmm. And it's knowing on the harder days that you might have to be more intentional for that. And on the easier days, it just comes easier.
Yeah.
and acknowledging where you're at in that process. And does that suck? Absolutely. But that's the hardest part about it, I think.
Yeah. Savannah from California. I'm often fearful of happiness and prefer to stay in a low mood because the crash afterwards from a high to a low is far more difficult for me than staying in the low the whole time. Any suggestions on how to address that?
Part of me is like, it's what's familiar. Mm-hmm. I think and we see that all the time, just in human change and human behavior. The devil, you know, is far more comfortable in dating, in relationships, in mood states. And the unfortunate thing with that is it doesn't mean it's good for you. Mm-hmm. And that's a lot of the psychoeducational I give people, like when they come in and they're like, I'm scared to feel happiness. If you suffer from depression or bipolar two, like our listener before, but anything can become a new normal.
Yep.
And it's having the courage sometimes, it's having the faith sometimes that this path in the long run is going to be worth it. Mm-hmm. But because I imagine for you, like that little bit of dip that you experience from happiness into a period of depression or neutrality, it's like disappointing or it feels foreign or it feels mm-hmm. different. And that's really valid. But I don't want something that's new and potentially good for you to be something that you then label as bad mm-hmm. and should be avoided. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, new doesn't always mean bad.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I often talk to clients, especially those that have been really, really depressed, that when you first start experience these moments of joy, happiness, or even like neutrality, mm-hmm. the contentment that we've talked about, it can feel uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah.
And like, you're like, I don't like this because I'm not used to feeling this. But just as you said, Justin, like, we work towards, you know, those little moments, like not aiming for the Bahamas vacation, because I'm going to make an assumption here. You all can tell me if I'm wrong. If we all went on a Bahamas vacation and then went back to work, I feel like all of us would have a crash.
After a crash going home.
Yeah.
To 30 degree weather. Like,
so what I encourage my clients to do is look for those little things and kind of do a stepwise process. Like, you know, what are things like even for 5 minutes a day that bring you joy and happiness to kind of build up that sustainability over time? So maybe you won't get as big of a crash. I also think, you know, part of being human is when we do have, like, even if it's a day that's really joyous and happy, we are gonna feel down the mm-hmm. next day.
Right.
And like Justin said, that's not a reason to avoid doing those things, but our comfort zone, even if we are miserable, for so many people is so much easier to stay in.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. I think, you know, if you can identify like, oh, I did this thing for 5 minutes and I felt joy and didn't have this huge crash. Okay, maybe next week I can work up to 2 times a day doing something. And I always tell people you have to build up that like evidence that the outcome is not always going to be the same. True. Will there be times you feel happy and then have the crash? Absolutely. I feel like that's part of the human condition. But like if you can, you know, say, oh, every day this week, I don't know, listen to my favorite song. And for that 3 minutes and 50 seconds, I felt really happy. Mm-hmm. And I didn't feel this huge crash. Okay. Then, you know, maybe the day I go see my favorite band in concert, the next day I'll feel a little low, but then I get to reflect on all those happy memories. And it's just building up that like evidence base that you can do those little joyous things mm-hmm. and not feel so depressed. And that might make you more motivated to continue to want to do those things.
I love that. Cause I always tell my clients, it's an experiment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Let's just do an experiment. No strings attached. Do it for a week. See how you feel. And then to your point, like if you're doing that every single day and just say it is the 3 minutes and 50 seconds, just imagine doing that for like all those small moments add up to an hour.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Then you have at least 1 hour of like an 8 hour work day. I'm making this up. If you are working 8 hours a day, that you're not totally miserable.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You know? So Anonymous said, why do you think the concept of happiness and joy seems so foreign to us now more than ever?
My gut instinct was social media and our access to mm-hmm. all the information.
Mm-hmm.
ever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is to blame.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is.
I agree.
Like, I mean, and we are the first generation that had social media, internet to yeah. age ourselves. But like, I just think of all the information that we can access, all the great information, mm-hmm. but also all the access to everything that's going on in the world that's horrible, bad, tragic, all the time.
Yeah.
And so, and we've alluded to this, but like, it's hard to want to be happy and joyous or feel like we deserve to be happy and joyous when we are aware of all of these horrific things going on all the time. Mm-hmm. And that's not just like, ignorance is bliss in some, you know, circumstances. But like, if we did not have access to all this information, but also Justin, going back to what you were saying about social media and like people stomping on your joy and happiness, like if you are on social media, you are opening yourself up to so many people that would have never had access to never. You before
never.
To say these things, pass these judgments. Mm-hmm. So yes, I like just how connected our world is through social media, internet, all of those things. I think it does make it so hard to feel like joy or happiness is possible because we're aware of all the bad.
Mm-hmm. So true.
Or you throw in the comparison to other people, even if you're not a creator, right? Even if you're just a person on your own personal Facebook page, your own personal Instagram feed, there's even that comparison. So something good happens and then 10 minutes later you see something, someone who got something better, and suddenly your joy is gone because you're like, oh, mm-hmm. I want that. Mm-hmm. Or, oh, they did that better. And so even in that aspect of even if we just pull it back to like solo personal,
yep.
that comparison, right? Brene Brown says comparison is the thief of joy. Mm-hmm. And that impact that does have because we have so much access, right? It's really great. And we could talk about the great things all day, but it also comes with compounding negatives mm-hmm. that we have to constantly be aware of and know when to turn it off, know when it's too much and all of that.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Last question, y'all. Roxy from Pennsylvania. They said, I've often allowed myself to relax whenever I have been productive. It's led to a bad cycle of high productivity followed by revenge scrolling. They talk about burnout a lot. You know, and then she says, I'm going to compensate by being more productive when the deadline hits. So there's this vacillation between high productivity and then feeling burnt out. What are some ways that I could exit this cycle and learn to feel joy without having it be attached to productivity?
Yeah, I was going to say incorporated in daily. Mm-hmm. There's nothing sexy about a daily routine. I know you love your sleep routines
and
sleep hygiene, sleep schedules. I'm just going to name it. It's not sexy.
It's not.
But if you were just being point blank about it, someone who intentionally regulates, makes time for themselves. We did the gratitude episode about a month ago, but all these little practices on the daily basis is going to perform better or feel better mm-hmm. than the people where it's just random or when I have time or after this quarter, when I'm done with these projects. Listen, I'm preaching to myself as I say this because I've been there, done that. But like the reality is regulation is a daily. Mm-hmm. It's a daily thing to make time for practice. If you're going 48, 72 hours where it's like, there's nothing. Mm-hmm. You always do that thing with yeah. like clients, the behavioral assessment of like, write down all the activities you did yesterday and put down whether it's D for depleting or R for regulating. And it can be hard to label yeah. some of these because you're like, is laundry neutral? Like for some people, they're like, hell no. For other people, they enjoy it. And they're like, oh, I feel a little regulated. But if you just do that in your daily basis and everything is depleting, the only road is to burnout. The mm-hmm. only road is to activate, for me, OCD, depression, you know, whatever it is you're struggling with. But it's not sexy having a routine, but it is, it's so important for mental health.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Yeah. Yeah, the only other thing I would add is, since it seems like the relaxation, joy, happiness is dependent on productivity, intentionally breaking that cycle. So not saying, right, oh, I can do this thing I enjoy when this is done. It's, you know, right, oh, I've already worked on X, Y, or Z for 2 hours. Let me, you know, go out with my friends and I'll come back and do that later. Because I think a lot of time we fall into these mm-hmm. routines. Yeah. I mean, I am the same way. I'm like, I have to get all of this stuff done before I allow myself to do this. Mm-hmm. But like I already brought up earlier, sometimes, a lot of the time, we are going to be more productive or show up better if we allow ourselves to have that joy and happiness before. Mm-hmm. Like, not waiting till we're burnt out, because you're probably also not going to experience the joy and happiness to the extent you could if you're only doing it when you feel burnt out.
So true.
Well, thank you all for joining for today's episode. We are so happy and joyful that you joined us this week.
Hey. I'm happy for our matching shirts, I guys. Know.
Thanks. Shout out to KBI. As always, please rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. Share this with someone who may enjoy the episode, someone that may want to feel more joyous or happy but doesn't know how. And we will see you next time in group therapy. Bye.
Bye, guys.
Peace be with you.
I'm done.